Kerry Mountains. I met with Captain Farrell and his money he was counting. I first produced me pistol and I then produced me rapier. Say, stand and deliver, for you are a bold deceiver.
Croeso and welcome to Tales for Wales, the pod that never fails to line you up another double shot of history, to talk Welsh in the club getting tipsy, and unveil Wales' great past mysteries. I'm Jack, and as always, I'm joined by my barrel inspector, my chief distiller, Franks. How are you, mate? Also, do you like, I tried to do that song. You know that?
Yeah.
Let me have another double shot. I don't know the lyrics.
I guess
that's what I went for. You got it. Good. I knew you would. I knew you would. Well, I'm desperate for the approval. That's all.
A look behind the candelabra. What's that word they say? What's the thing? A look behind the.
That's a thing, isn't it? The candelabra.
Yeah, people say it better than that. I don't really know the word I'm trying to say. But look behind the old magician's cock. And I was, we're doing two back-to-back, and I play football tonight, and I said to you, I'm on a diet, I'm not going to drink, and trying to be a bit better. But I had one pint, and then I had some leftover
the
rum.
The levies are broken. Sorry.
Yeah, one pint. They're going to make an Adam Curtis documentary called The Levies Are Broken. It's just me having fucking... So I pulled myself
Alan Franks, Me and My Addiction, the autobiography. Once I've had one, I cannot stop. Done. I'm a Pringle,
And then I had some leftover spice rum. So I poured it into a pint glass, and it was not joking. It's about two-thirds of the pint glass full of rum. That's like, oh, that could have been
that's a huge drink.
So I'm going to sip away and then top it back up. I thought, oh, do you know what? We and you never do doubles. We always do a triple or something like that. So I thought, oh, I'll make it a biggie. I'm not joking. It's just below. You know where a pint has like the little bulb where at the top of it has that little fucking muffin top. So I'm at the muffin top.
Such a biggie. Are you going to do like the delayed mixer where you're topping it up with Coke as you go? Slowly getting it down to a normal level.
I've just brought the Pepsi Max over, so that'll have to top up as I go, and it's so full to the brim as well. I wanted to add two ice cubes, but there wasn't enough space in the pint glass for it.
First world problems. I like it. The problems of pouring an absolute monster biggie.
Yeah. What are you on? You on the Voddies?
On the Voddies, mate, yeah. I've got JJ's Vodka, Family
Sounds
Distillers.
Good
artisanal,
God,
handcrafted
garbage.
Artisanal vodka.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's not. It's what you call it. It's Co-op's one-up from Co-op Zone. I will say it does look like it could be fancier than that. So props to them.
It just tastes
like fucking. It's pretty like fucking generic Voddy. Yeah. You don't really taste Voddy. That's like the beauty of
That's the beauty of it.
Just drown it out in some mixer. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing. We're doing an episode based on whiskey. I mean, you don't give a fuck.
I know. Yeah.
We were meant to reach back out to Pandaren for those three bottles.
We were.
But we just didn't do that. We don't drink it anyway. We just mix it with fucking pep. Plop.
This potentially won't. Well, no, this is the next episode, isn't it? We could just try and like weasel out an email tomorrow morning. See how it goes.
Why not?
I love how it's is it Bubbins and Ellis James who say like they're in a bar and it's like, oh, this is a 12-year aged whiskey, it's got notes of this, and I was like, oh yeah, can I have a Coke please, mate? Just top it up with a fucking bog standard Pepsi.
That's how most people are. Like, I don't know, because I don't drink alcohol for the taste. I drink it for the sweet relief from reality. So, like, I don't really give a fuck what it's like. Although saying that,
ditto.
I actually wanted to have no taste. Like, lager, I don't like it when it's fruity. Hibiscus, oregano, origami. I don't want any of that in it. I want it to be left well alone, and I just can have, like, cold. I want it to be cold.
I like it when it's nice and sweet.
Yeah, you know, so like, a spice spirits, nice and sweet. My lager's cold. That's all of the notes I want from them. Although saying that, like, I love flavor. Like, I spend so much time cooking and researching like recipes. So then I think, oh, maybe I'll try something a bit nice, like a nice nice wine. Like, it's all the same. Give me Gallows. Give me garbage white wine, and I'll just
I've said to I went to, you know, when we had the Wine and Crime Girls on before?
Yeah, yeah.
I've been to Sarah's shop down the Corporation Market. While I was down there, because I was trying out their little home on a, they do like a happy hour on a, whenever it was a Tuesday. I had a week off, so I took the dog down there, and I was like, oh, it'd be a bit rude if I went in there and didn't like say hello. And I was like, oh, I'll support a local Welsh business as well. Why not get a thing of wine? And it was,
Sarah,
if you're listening, Sarah, she was, yeah. If you listen, Sarah, I apologize. I was a difficult customer. Basically, I'm the worst person. She was like, oh, what sort of thing do you like? And I was like, basically, like wine that doesn't taste like wine. It's got to taste like nothing.
Yeah, like lemonade. Preferably, or red wine Pepsi.
She was great when she was like, "Oh, do you prefer this kind? This kind?" And I was just like, "This is hieroglyphics to me." Like, you just to listen. What's easiest to get down my gullet? Basically, is what I was after. Luckily, Amy came to pick me and the dog up, and I was like, "You talk to her. You tell her what I like.
You tell her what I like." Men are such babies with their wives, aren't they? It's just like, my food's not right. Will you tell
you
the
can
person?
Speak to my designated adult now. I've had five pints.
I've got and a week go to my bed. I got a week off where I'm just staying at home, as in like not going on holiday. Em's going away to Croatia or somewhere. No, Prague. And I've got the week just for me, and I've seen and I'm going cinema every day with my Odeon card. I go in gym, boxing, and a different barbecue meat. I'm smoking every day. I've gone like peak mid-30s.
That sounds amazing, though. Oh, man, I must be there with you, because it just sounds fucking brilliant.
You'll be there on the Saturday, because I mean, you're going for an all day on the Saturday as well. I
can't wait for that. That'd
absolutely
be good.
Lovely. Also, I found God, by the way. I'm now religious. I've decided that there has to be meaning to life. It can't just be we're floating on a rock and it happened by accident. There has to be. I don't believe in a...
You flipped from atheist to agnostic now?
I was always agnostic. I was never atheist, because I think that's just as arrogant as saying, you know, there's a God. I believe, I don't believe in a God that's been written down in a Bible, but I definitely think there's something, which made me think, mostly because I'm scared of dying, so I don't want this to be it, because life's too much fun. I don't want this to be the end, because that's just horrible to think, what, there's nothing there.
Can I please go for pints in heaven, please, Mr. God? That's all I want.
Yeah, but now I'm starting to think everything has a conscience, so I was like, oh shit, I eat bacon, I probably shouldn't eat bacon. So I'm debating going vegetarian. I'm not going to, obviously, because of my lifestyle.
What the fuck is going on with your brain? You've gone from, I just think there needs to be a bit more meaning in life, too. Oh, does this pavement I'm stepping on have a conscience? Should I not be doing that?
A pig will have a conscience. So I was like, well, I'm just taking that for a bit of bacon. That's not fair. So maybe I should not eat that. But then I
feel like the old veggies have been making that argument for quite some time.
Yeah, but it's important because it's come to me spiritually. I've figured it out, actually.
It's the word of God. Okay? Yeah.
Also, really funny, whilst I found my new religion, my godson was christened by this really cool young pastor in Cardiff. Like, it was such a cool young church, brand new church, only opened like a year. Yeah. It has like
sit on the
live streams
and things.
Yeah,
like
it was that kind of vibe. The guy had tattoos. He's about 23. He christened.
A man of God has tattoos. Yeah. Oh man, what's this
had,
new
like,
age
a proper
jumbo
band? You sat in a they were in the center, and it was like a wrestling ring, and we all sat around like in squares. So like a, you know, oh, like
a, I think it was really more than the wrestling ring, and they did a show. And
well,
they came out.
The guy was in the news for being an absolute swindler. the pastor, who was like 23, taking like a couple of grand for himself and a couple of grand for his wife, pretending they were doing extra jobs. And I keep saying to Craig, it makes his son's baptism null and void. So he's now
done by a swindler.
So I might get into religion to start swindling people, because I reckon you can swindle a lot of people as a Christian.
Oh, that's in my opinion, that's all the whole thing is. Sorry, any Christians listening. Yeah. But I like that. I do like that. It's like the guy clearly, he was like, oh, I'm a pastor with the one true God, Christianity and all that. Yeah, obviously not listening to the teachings of Christ very well, are you, mate?
They never do.
I'll pilfer the fucking public purse a little bit.
What was I saying the other day where like, the irony of like, it was just like a, you know, like Andy Elliott, that really shouty guy who's like who sells courses online, but he's like, he's ripped and he's like one of those alt-right like grifters.
They all have that sort of business thing, don't they?
Yeah.
They
all
have,
it's they all selling the course.
And they go, have a look at supplements or use a course on how to be a real
it's
man
literally
or some
that.
Shit like that.
It's all just that. But there's this one now where like they had all these like guys between like 30 and 50 in like a military lineup, just in their church had like a uniform, and one of them wore a hat, and he was like shouting at him for wearing a hat, and he was shouting at everyone else for not telling him to take his hat off when he went to church, and like they was literally like bollocking him, but he had a hat, the guy bollocking him had a hat on as well. Just like, this is so fucking religion. It's like, join my spiritual course.
Hypocrisy,
yeah.
My friend.
I'm going to start my own chrizo church called Be Kind to Each Other and Maybe
kind of
Don't
full
Eat Bacon.
Circle, yeah. You've gone like, I need to believe in some more purpose in the world. So I've gone religious, and then you've instantly gone, I'm going to use it for personal gain and fleece people. Yeah.
Yeah. And in this religion,
I'm
going to
fleece
very
people
Welsh
in God's
based.
Name.
Yeah. So, yeah. Stay tuned to see
whether. Throw a bit of Welsh nationalism in there as well. That'll get him hooked, wouldn't it? And get all the fucking locals in.
So I haven't quite figured out what I believe, but there is something. I don't believe it's a God that it's in a book. I don't believe any of that, but I do believe there must be something next. So stay tuned to see what I figure out.
Stay tuned next week to see Frank's flip-flop straight back again and go, actually, there is nothing. You
actually,
know what?
No. This week I'm Muslim. I'm trying them all out. It's like, isn't that what Elvis Presley said? Like, he had all the different iconography, and then he said, I don't want to miss out on heaven due to a technicality. So he had like a Star of David, like the crescent moon of Islam. And
That's like Aldous Snow on Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Well, and it's also like Benny from The Mummy. Do you know when he holds up all the crucifix?
What a scene. What a scene. I wish I could do the accents and the language now. He begs for Christ to me or something.
Can we maybe drop that in here as a clip?
Yeah, and then, I'll just drop it in. I'll never do it justice. Yeah. Oh, Benny.
May the good Lord protect and watch over me as a shepherd watches over his flock. Ya ilahi, sayyidni amehi, kha afani.
No? Okay. Cho, Musa, Bao. Cho, Musa, Bao.
What the state of the net, I'm a man.
And that's the one true God I believe in, Benny from The Mummy.
Cinema. That's the only real winner. Yeah,
the only religion worth following.
Should we do Patreon?
Yeah, let's do Patreon. So, Patreon. Where are you?
So we got this week, quite a fun one. Oh, Justin Johnson. I ain't ever going to see you around this tower again, Justin Johnson.
I told you, Justin Johnson, if I ever seen you around these parts again, it was going to be like a bowl of chat shop.
That is what an incredible name. That is, has to be American, surely.
Justin Johnson, attorney at law.
Johnson. That's I'm here to kick ass and drink milk, and I'm all out of milk.
Justin Johnson's deaf. JJ. It's like what's the who makes the baby stuff? Oh,
Alan Johnson.
Well, straight back to Frankfurt.
Justin Johnson. I don't ever see the likes of you around this town again, old
boy. It's like an old 80s Arnie and Sylvester Stallone movie. Yeah. Justin Johnson, bitch. And they like
Carl Carlson.
Carl Carlson, Justin Johnson, the best tag team partners that ever graced WWE.
What do they call it? Is Johnson short for penis? Is another name for penis?
It is, yeah. My Johnson. Look at my Johnson.
I've just got my Johnson in. I'm Justin Johnson. My old Justin Johnson's there, baby. We always go dick related, don't we?
Justin, have a look at my Johnson. Yeah. Yeah.
Where's your Johnson? Oh, it's Justin. It's Justin a little bit.
Fresh in or hot daily.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I reckon JJ Abrahams.
He's done enough dick jokes now, haven't we?
Yeah. Well, from from one dick to a whiskey dick. That's the thing, isn't it? Whiskey dick when you can't
That's
get
the
it.
Thing. I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of it. Too never much. Happened to me.
Never ever happened to me.
We know about that.
I don't drink enough for that, okay?
Yeah, rumour has it that could happen when you have too much of the old whiskey. Hang on. What's the guy called who this episode's about? Jack Daniels, that's the fella.
Justin Johnson.
Justin Johnson, and this is Justin. We're doing an episode about whiskey. Okay, let's move on.
Here we go. There just we go. In nice time. And smooth,
So I'm not just doing this about Jack Daniels. This is about Welsh whiskey in general and Welsh whiskey's heritage. But I will start off with the old Jackie Daniels Welsh connections Jackie and Welsh ancestry. So Jack Daniel originally born at Jasper Newton Daniel. So Jasper Newton Daniel. I said Jasper, and then realised
been you lied to our entire lives. Jasper Daniel.
Yeah, or Jasper. In 1849. And he was, of course, of Welsh descent. The company history notes mention that his grandfather, Joseph Job Daniel, was born in Wales and emigrated to Tennessee. Now, this is jumping ahead a couple of hundred years, but I'd never heard about this. But in 2012, in Llanelli, there was a discovery of a recipe. Have you heard about this?
Ooh, I think I have, actually, yeah. But do enlighten
pretend
us.
Pretend you haven't. In June 2012, Llanelli businessman Mark Evans announced he discovered an 1853 whiskey recipe in his great-great-grandmother's Welsh language herbal book. Evans claimed the book's author, surnamed Daniels, was a relation to Jack Daniels and their relative John Jack the Lad Daniels, who emigrated to Lynchburg, Tennessee, carrying the recipe 3 years before Jack Daniels' distillery opened.
Well.
Yeah, so... This sparked a swathe of news stories and publicity. Now, the official response from the bigwigs at Jack Daniels, at the company, they flatly denied the Llanelli story. Master distiller Jeff
As
Arnett.
They
yeah, are you going to believe a guy called Jeff Arnett, like Will Arnett's shit brother? He said, "It's a good story, but one based rather in fancier than in fact, darling. The people in dates just don't march. Fuck off." I mean, he'd be American, so he'd be like, "It's a ghost story, y'all."
Yeah.
Now, I like a story.
It's based in fancy, y'all.
It's a final fancy, if you don't declare. But the people of the dates just don't match, you hear me? See?
So it's crazy as a couple of cats in a sack, if you ask me.
But Arnett noted that Jack Daniel's family was already in America for two generations before 1853, and that John Jack the Lad Daniels cannot be the founder Jasper Newton Daniel because the names don't quite match. So he accuses Evans, this Llanelli lad, of being a porcupine. In short, the outcome
just living by in fancy, isn't he?
Yeah, you got your head of the clouds, you little Llanelli boy.
head amongst the stars, like Brad in a bucket of moonshine.
And to be fair, we are doing a South accent because Tennessee tis the South, and it shall rise again.
I doubt we're doing an accurate. I don't know. Yeah, unless that's not what I say. I rescind that comment.
unless it's okay to say, I'll leave it in.
I don't think we're doing an accurate Tennessee accent, but we're doing an accent, and you can't take that away from us.
Well, I absolutely fucking loved Tennessee, and I loved Louisiana. I loved New Orleans. I spent a lot of time in the South. I was meant to be there for like a couple of weeks, but ended up spending like 2 months there. And they call it, instead of New Orleans, Narlands.
I was just about to say, I was like, does this sound right? Because I've heard they go, Narlands.
It's like, Narlands. They sound like Kevin Church's brew.
Narlands. Again, great reference. Yeah, only you'll get. Well, as an select
kid from our school. Well, maybe we'll quickly say that. There's a boy from our school who used to laugh. Go, yeah.
Sure, like we've covered him before. He must have made a cameo on here.
But back to the whiskey. In short, the outcome was the big wicks at JD say that the Welsh recipe is lore, not history. So they do kind of like tip their hat towards it and say it's a part of the myth, but it ain't, you know, it's not the real thing. So law, more like bore. Am I right? I wrote that down. Nice. That was pathetic. So the company itself, it celebrates Jack Daniel's Welsh roots, so it doesn't like shy away from that. It's quite proud of the fact it's got Welsh heritage.
Send us some fucking whiskey then, isn't it?
Yeah, even though I don't fucking touch the stuff, it's garbage.
An orange one, don't they? Like an
The apple one is actually what I get every year from my mother-in-law, and I fucking love it. That's the one present I always ask for. It's like it's so sweet. It's like you're drinking apple tango. It's fucking lush. I know our listeners will have like a real knowledge and interest in whiskey, because I think if you like history, whiskey and history go quite, they sound the same.
They do pair quite nicely, don't they?
So I bet you we're going to really upset like some connoisseurs from us being fucking louts.
I do think as well, just from a business point of view, if Jack Daniels were listening to this and they were like, oh, we should maybe, oh, it's like a Welsh root, maybe we could do it. And then they hear us going like, I love the apple one, tastes like fucking apple tango, it's lush. Like, I hate whiskey normally. It's like, maybe not the vibe.
Do you know me and you love Barclay V? And we're like, well, as in the spice realm, we will... we'll have that instead of getting drunk on it. We'll have that as like a, you know, one or two times a week as just a nice drink. And that's what I do with this Jack Daniel's. The apple one is so tasty, man. And I put loads of ice in it, and it's just, you can have it straight, and it's quite an enjoyable one. And I don't like any kind of snobbery. If you enjoy something, enjoy it. So fucking shut up.
Well, there we are. Any American listeners, march down to fucking Jack Daniel's home office. HQ and say, listen, the Tales for Wheels bills, they need it, bro.
Gizzy. So yeah, they were really happy to celebrate his grandfather's Welsh roots, but they insist that Jack learnt his distillery locally from a minister or a mentor rather than from the Welsh formula. Although, I did see that the recipe they discovered is so close to what they do in America that I do think there is some truth in the matter, because it's like incredibly similar. So that's kind
it's of like finding the kernels, 11 herbs and spices in like fucking the Hunchleth or something, isn't it? Like, it's too close to me. You can't ignore
salt,
it.
Pepper, salt and pepper again, vinegar. That's so that's it's not a huge amount to say about other than Jack Daniel's as Welsh grandparents. So I thought, right, let's look at the landscape of Welsh whiskey and its influence in America specifically, because we got a beautiful swathe of American listeners. So I like the word diaspora, but I don't know if I say it right. So when you leave one country, and so Welsh diaspora means like when large waves of Welsh immigrants settled in the United States in like the 18th and 19th century. And specifically diaspora. In the 19th century, diaspora, it's like disparate, when you spread something out. Like that word. So I think that's where the word comes
from. Like a dispersion.
A dispersion. So Welsh diaspora, I'm not sure if I pronounce it right, but when Wales spread across America in the 18th and specifically the 19th century, loads of them were Welsh miners, iron workers and farmers who made their homes in places like Pennsylvania, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, and elsewhere. But in Scranton specifically, there was nearly 15% of the whole population of Scranton were native Welsh residents. And it was the largest concentration of Welsh people in the world outside of Wales and England. And I couldn't find an exact number, but they say it was around 10,000 native Welsh people lived in Scranton in the 1900s. Earlier than this, Welsh settlers, often Quakers or Baptists, once again, like as we mentioned in last week's episode, Wales has always had strong religious roots. They established communities in New England and Pennsylvania throughout the 17th and 18th centuries. There's like towns like Swansea in Massachusetts. They were founded by Baptists in I think that was 1662. So fucking in the 17th century, that's how long Wales has been going over to America. So as time progressed, Welsh Americans contributed culturally. So we built schools, churches, industry, and then even legally. So do you know that the only Welsh Prime Minister, David Lloyd George, who was Prime Minister in around the time of the First World War, he was in politics during the First World War and things like that. I think he was actually born in Manchester or Liverpool, but he grew up in Wales and he spoke Welsh.
Yeah, and he was like a proud Welshman, wasn't
he? Yeah, yeah. Whilst he was Chancellor, so before he became Prime Minister, he introduced this new rule that, because whiskey was being brewed in America, but to not the highest standard, it was kind of like rushed out, and you know, whiskey's all about aging. He introduced this law that you have to, whiskey has to age by 3 years. So in 1915, when there's a fucking world war going on, it's still just legislation.
Let's talk about, let's get down to brass tacks here, guys, okay, there's important issues.
So this law he brought in impacted in America as it got rid of poorer quality scotch and led the way for more American whiskies like bourbon and things like that, because they had to kind of compete with the better quality stuff from Britain. Mm. And most people know about Irish and Scottish whiskey. So Scotch and Irish whiskey credited with bringing distilling to the Appalachia. But Welsh figures played a big role too. Classically, we get ignored. Overlooked. I don't think it's an active
thing. Yeah, we get less hype about us.
But that's our privilege is doing this pod and trying to kind of talk about this stuff. We should talk about a guy called Evan Williams from Pembrokeshire. He went to Kentucky and he founded Louisville's first commercial distillery in around 1780, and it's called. It's often labeled as Kentucky's first distillery. The Penderin whiskey. They note it as one of the founders. They note Evan Williams as like one of the original founders of American bourbon. So like this Welsh guy is the reason why American bourbon is exists. Maybe that's a bit grandiose, but he was one of the founding fathers of American bourbon. In classic form, the Welsh migrants were part of America's early distilling melting pot, so they're even less celebrated than the others. So like there was so much going on in America that Wales was kind of overlooked. So like I just mentioned, there was an important guy who kind of set it all up in terms of being one of the founding fathers, but still you'd consider people would know Scotch and Irish whiskey over Welsh whiskey, although that is shifting. Things like which I'll come to in a little bit, but like the attitude to Welsh whiskey is definitely like boomed in the last 20
years.
It's
not quite as the Scotch and Irish isn't quite as dominant as it once was.
So some key dates in American in Welsh whiskey. It goes back as far as the 4th century, which is fucking mental.
That's crazy. I think of whiskey as seems like quite an advanced process to like make.
Exactly. So archaeology suggests that small stills, which is like, I think the word distills comes from the word, how you brew whiskey, you still it and then you distill it and all that malarkey. That existed in the 4th century, and home distilling was very common in rural areas, so people would get their own home brew. The spirit was produced wouldn't have been anything like the whiskey we have today, which is a bit more fruity, sweet and mellow. It would have been very earthy and bitter, but it would have been the same what you'd class. garbage. But it would be what we'd class as whiskey today.
Technically whiskey,
And then in the 1700s, Evan Williams, who I mentioned, he leaves Pembrokeshire, he leaves Dale, which I was actually just in Dale on the weekend, and he goes to Virginia and Kentucky, and later the founding of the Louisville Distillery in 1783. And then in the 1800s, towards the end of the 1800s, Richard Lloyd Price and Robert Willis open Welsh Whiskey Distillery Company at Frongoch Bala. They were trying to like reinvigorate or actually establish a Welsh whiskey distillery, as in like
home base for it.
Home base. They actually got as far as getting the royal decree, so they became they produced royal Welsh whiskey. So for people who might not know this, there are certain products that the royal family will like kind of endorse. So for a long time, Cadbury was something that had like a royal letter of standing. They've recently removed because the quality of Cadbury has gone downhill. So like if you supply stuff to the royal family, you get this title of like royal. So there was the whiskey was so good it was classed as royal Welsh whiskey.
Is that a bit like what you call it, Clog Eye Gold is like Welsh gold, and that's like supplied loads of things to the royal family, isn't it?
But there is like a specific thing. So if you do act, so it's a way of saying giving it a standard, so, you know, like you can do it sometimes with like salt, you know, Hallan Mourne is like a trademark thing. It's because of its quality. Yeah. The Royal Decree has something similar. So they were producing royal Welsh whiskey. But by the late 19th century, Welsh entrepreneurs attempted large scale production, not just in Wales. They were looking to go further. And like I mentioned, they obtained a royal warrant in 1895. We got this royal whiskey. It seemed like it was going well, but it turned out to be quite short-lived, mostly due to like heavy local temperance. Like there's a thing called like sentiment. Mm. You know, like you ever hear like sediment and sentiment in in what makes it. So like the soil and how we produced it. I don't know the ins and outs of all the whiskey malarkey, but wasn't great for Welsh.
I don't
know enough
about it myself.
But from what I read and what I've researched, it was because there was, first of all, market disadvantage. We didn't have grain whiskey, and we only had like a certain malt that made it not as good as competing ones in Ireland and things like that, and in Scotland. Yeah. And the climate didn't really help, and the sediment and the sentiment was poorer quality than in other parts. So Fron Goch closed not too long after getting this royal decree or royal
RIP to the boys pouring
And its collapse pretty much ended formal whiskey making for a century. So this is towards the start of the 19th. So this is like in the 1900s. It closed officially in like 1915, and then it went completely gonzo. There was just no talk of Welsh whiskey until the 2000s.
They were too early. They came to the party too early. Yeah.
The only thing you could note of having a Welsh influence during the 20th century was Lloyd George's 1915 law, where I mentioned earlier he set the minimum age from to 3 years. So it's a rule that's still in effect today. So for Scotch, Irish and Welsh whiskey, it has to be aged for at least 3 years to guarantee equality. But take us back to 1999 now. The modern era begins, and it begins with Penderyn. And I didn't know this. This is pretty cool. It started off as like how all best things start, as a conversation between friends in a pub. They were like avid whiskey drinkers. Were in a pub in the Rhondda, and they were like, why isn't there? It's such a shame there is no more Welsh whiskey to speak of, despite its origins being, you know, Jack Daniels starting this like bourbon, like American bourbon. This should change. So they pulled together as much money as they could, and they reestablished Welsh whiskey after a 100-year hiatus. And they thought, amazing, right, let's really make this Welsh. So they focus on bringing in spring water from the Brecon Beacons and using like this unique copper single pot still. So they founded themselves in 2000, and Penderyn became the first Welsh distillery in a century. And it had, like I said, it has to wait at least 3 years. So they decided to wait for their first single malt to be released in 2004 on St. David's Day.
Excellent choice.
I know, good choice, isn't it? And then the company expanded, opening distilleries in Llandudno in 2021 and then Swansea in 2023. And it's now a hugely successful global brand known for its award-winning lighter and fruitier whiskies. And then from there, that kickstarted other places. So we now have distilleries like Aberfalls, which is set in Abergwyngregin, which was in 2017. This is like an Irish pronunciation. It's like Dachmiel, where it's got an affliction above the A and above I. And that was using like an organic whiskey. And they went to a full distillery from 2012 to 2017. And then In the Welsh Wind, which was established in Cardigan, and then Coles in Llansadog. And there's a bunch of them popping up. So in the 2000s, 2010s, Welsh whiskey has a boom.
Big resurgence, yeah.
As of 2023, there were 7 working Welsh distilleries. I think involved in that, Penderyn have 3 of them. And there might be some more to go, but it's for 100 years of having 0 to having 7 operational successful whiskies is a real sign of the appetite momentum, for Welsh beer.
Did you say this already? Sorry if I missed it. Why is it called Penderyn? Is it? I remember reading something about it. It's like the village or the town they started in, or something.
Yeah, I don't think it's
because Penderyn. I didn't think it was about Dick Penderyn. I was thinking, what does Penderyn mean? And that's probably like what head of the bird or something, bird's head.
Yeah,
in Welsh. But I was thinking, what's the relevance of that? Is it just like the where they started or something like that, like village?
Didn't check the etymology of it, but. No, I didn't check the it was, have a quick, why is it called Penderyn whiskey? Is that a lot of butchers?
Because I was thinking, it's to do with Arthur. I was like, no, that's Pendragon, not Penderyn.
It just seems because it's from the village Pendennin.
Oh, there we go. So it is literally from the village Pendennin. There we go. Yeah.
Makes moving sense. On, mate. Don't hold me up. I've got another fact to tell you. So now we're in 2025. Pendennin marks 25 years and it's got 140 awards and it produces whiskey to 50 plus countries. And it's firmly put Welsh whiskey on the map and on the world stage. So, you know, it's a real success story. The industry outlook, I've got some other little bits of facts here. So Welsh whiskey is considered still young. You know, it's only been around for like 20 years. But it's growing. Yeah. And in 2021, the Welsh Whiskey Organization applied for a protected geographical indication for single malt Welsh whiskey, aiming to secure quality and identity, which is kind of like when you can't just make imitations. Because, like, you know, gin, anyone can make gin, so the quality varies massively.
Well, it's like you said with, like, Irish whiskey, Scottish whiskey. You can't just make that in, like, I don't know, in Canada or something like that and call it Scottish whiskey or Irish whiskey.
There's like a big demand for it. Pendennin's investing around 80 million to expand capacity. Welsh whiskey's like transitioned from a forgotten past to like a global niche. And I think whiskey drinkers like to be quite niche. They're like, oh, have you tried this one? And to say, oh, I've got this Welsh whiskey from here, from the Brecon Beacons, it's like, you know, it's quite a nice thing to say. And what do you think is really...
I can sort of empathise with that in that, you know, we will occasionally splash out for a fancy rum for an occasion.
Yeah, definitely. Especially
and we like
Welsh.
Going, ooh, this is a little thing from... Yeah, or it's a new one from... Like, I've tried loads of Welsh ones just simply because I love Bounty and that has yet to be topped.
Yeah, true. Bounty like, is the best.
There's other ones like Welsh Witch I've tried, which is lush. There's loads of really good ones. But yeah, I always were like, oh, that's a new one I haven't heard of. Let's give that a go.
In terms of the style, so Welsh Whiskey Organization defines Welsh single malt as having a lightness of character akin to other New World whiskies. So in practice, most Welsh distilleries follow the suit where they distill to a higher ABV. So like they're a bit more higher percentage, but they use these like copper stills that attach a specific lighter flavor than some like heavier whiskies. So in contrast, like Scotch and Irish pots, they tend to be heavier and oilier. And bourbon is generally like sweeter, so like more kind of our style, which we like. Whereas Pendennin blends both.
It sounds like I prefer bourbon.
Yeah, we would. Sweeter, we do like bourbon. I used to have a bourbon called Rebel Yell. It was my granddad, my American granddad, who was a fucking cowboy. When I was like 16, me and my mate took his this like really fancy looking bourbon called Rebel Yell, and we made a drink called Skegnetti on Skegnetti based on the Natural Born Killers film, and we realized it was like this it's called Rebel Yell and it's from the south. It was like this Confederate whiskey we were drinking. It was like, oh shit, no,
you and your mate, like, got the south will rise again.
Will rise again, my brothers. So Irish whiskey is heavier, Scottish whiskey is heavier, whereas bourbon's a lot sweeter, whereas Welsh whiskey blends both approaches. And so that's kind of like what the niche is. And also they do, their ABV is, it tends to be higher, which I reckon probably that's cool. And then another final thing, if you give a fuck about this, all Welsh single malts use 100% malted barley, no corn, and like bourbon uses corn, and they must age for 3 years, blah, blah, blah.
That's one for the whisky heads, isn't it? They're going like, oh, malted corn, fucking yes, come on then.
And this is one Welsh fact at the end. So Pendennin and others finish their spirit in richly seasoned casks. So they use this. So Pendennin has a signature golden dragon malts, which use ex-Madeira and export casks. They're really old and flavoursome, which imparts sweet and fruity notes. And compared to bourbon, is a matured new charred American oak, giving vanilla and caramel. And Scotch and Irish, usually in form of bourbon or sherry casks. Don't know what that means. Don't care. Sorry if you get an awful lot about it. But
also,
like I said,
when
Welsh,
they go
Welsh
like, oh, they impart cherry and vanilla notes. I'm telling you now, right, most spirits, they got cherry and vanilla. If you drink that shit straight, you don't taste fucking any. Like, I don't taste anything. I think anyone who does taste it, is a liar, okay?
I smoke a lot of meat at the moment because I'm very cool. Mm. I use apple wood and apple cherry and cherry wood and hickory wood. And it is crazy how different each of those are. So, like, if I'm doing something that can take a lot of smoke, like a big piece of beef, I could do hickory. But if I was to use hickory on...
another fucking thing you believe in now, is it? Bloody flavoured wood.
But it is. It's crazy the difference. If I'm doing a quick one, like pork, I'll use like a sweet one, like apple or cherry. But if I'm doing like a longer one, hickory, it's mad. And, all it is, you only use a handful of wood, like a tiny bit of flake. But yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just more
maybe,
cultured.
Maybe I should have a shit palate. I don't know. But even like... You know, it like bad TV, something I love. I can drink that straight. No problem. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like, that just tastes nice and sweet to me. If you say, what flavors you get, I'm like, lovely sweet rum. That's all I can tell
it
you.
It is like that Peep Show. That Peep Show thing where Jez has to buy a nice bottle of wine for Big Sue's. And he goes, and it's like 75 quid. He goes, that is nice. Not as nice as a glass of Coke, but it is nice.
Yeah, not as glass as a glass of Coke or a milkshake, but not bad.
Not bad for wine.
Yeah.
Right, that's the end of our whiskey tour.
Oh, I like that, mate. That was informative and entertaining.
That's there what we're trying to do. We're like do you know the BBC has a mandate for the 3 R's? Educate, inform, and entertain. I know one of them's not actually spelt with an E, but that's what they do. They say it's a 3 E's.
I thought you said, I swear to God, I heard you say the 3 R's then. You like,
I probably
educate,
did.
Inform,
that's...
entertain. And I was like, because none of those start with R. What's
it's
going
because
on?
The 3 R's were what they used to do for education, which is reading, writing, arithmetic. So they used to say the 3 R's for education, reading, writing. And again, that arithmetic is with
drop
an
the A. Arithmetic, Give me all arithmetic.
The BBC has a similar mandate where they have to educate, inform, and entertain. And that's what we're trying to do here on our stupid little show.
Stupid little tin box podcast. I wouldn't say we're tin box anymore. I'd actually say we graduated from tin box.
I saw some beautiful soul that's posted, replied to someone on the Reddit where someone said, I want some Welsh history or something. And you showed it to me. That guy said, if you want Welsh history, go no further. So some legend suggested us and some people seconded it and thirded it. But he... the guy responded saying, I don't know if I want to listen to this. They say they're drunk, inaccurate. Why would I listen to that? And the guy was like, they're putting themselves down. They do put work into it. And then I thought, maybe we should stop being so self-deprecating. And then a lovely listener sent us a message saying, stop saying your shit, which was quite nice. But I think we're just teasing.
I'll shout out to the Reddit guy, keeping it session.
Session.
This was when I spotted in the wild, unprompted and lovely.
That's our favourite.
I got the Wales subreddit to follow it. And just a genuine thing in the wild. So I said, that's Frank. So thank you, mate. That's very kind that you think we're good.
Yeah.
And also, I know what you mean is maybe we should be like, we're not that inaccurate anymore.
Yeah. I mean, we work really hard on writing the notes. I hope people.
I work bloody hard, mate. I slog my guts out for this.
I don't want people to think that we don't try because we do try hard, but we're also idiots. So it's like, I don't want people to think. We know
I think
we're
at the start, it was definitely like we used it as a shield to be like, look, we said we were shit. Yeah. I'm sorry we got it wrong. But we do actually try and get things right.
Yeah, and we do like, I studied English at uni, English and history and politics, and I never read a single book. And now with this, I'm reading books left, right, and fucking centre.
Now look at me go.
Book I'm reading at the moment is
I just
so
about
good.
The, go on, you should say about the book. I'll cut you dead and then go back to my reference now.
It's an O Anglian and Dude book, which is making me fucking love the man, but also understand what it's like. Llan Rhwst during the Black Plague lost every single person who lived there, and the town was like decimated. And like, and I'm just reading shit constantly. I read this amazing. So during the, we have the Brutator Sogion, like the Welsh Annals one. The Scots have one where it's like it's a very hard word to say, but it's like the Scotchanonian. When we come to the episode, I'll pronounce it better. But they took one of the guys who wrote that. Discusses when the Britons and the Albans worked together on about how the Welsh and during O Anglian and Dudes revolt, he talks about this harmonious land where we come back to it and stuff. And reading other people's history talk about Wales got me so buzzed. And I was like, fuck, this is like class. And I only get that when you do like deep dives, because I'm reading literally like, this is from the, I think it's 1486. So like, no, 1456. So it's like 30 years after Glyndŵr's Rebellion finished, but like poets and chroniclers
or whatever.
No, the guys who, whatever. Nerds. It's so cool that like from other countries are writing down our stuff and talking about it. And but without doing this pod, I never would have fucking read some 500-600-year-old.
Oh yeah, it's poem. Crazy that we've gone from like when we started this, we thought we were like enthusiasts. I think we were just absolute such amateurs at the time because we were like, oh, I really like this stuff. We knew maybe probably that the
a bit more
thing
than
is, we did this pod because we probably knew more than your average kind of Welsh guy. my shelf is filling up with fucking
every time there's
books.
Any sort of like. You know, oh, they talk about rugby or they talk about like a sport. So, it actually has quite a lot of origins in Wales. The amount of times I refer things back to Wales is mental. Like, it's insane how I crowbar into
becoming that guy and going, harkens back when the Saxons invaded.
When I was with my brother-in-law and stuff and showing around Cardiff the other day, and I was like, oh, Warnaby Street's actually a Viking street and it's the oldest street in Cardiff. And when Owen Glyndŵr burnt down Cardiff, he left Greyfriars Road because he was friends with the friars. And I was like, oh, cool.
Everyone else has already left. You're just there in the bar on your own. Like,
Anyway, talking of leaving, if you haven't left already, please drop us a 5-star review. It makes me horny.
So someone's halfway through their massive run.
Yeah.
See you guys. Bye, bye, bye.